Good morning. Come on, good morning. So good to see you. Just looking around, seeing who's in church, just seeing all my friends and brothers and sisters and family members. Service hosts, if you would come on down. If you did not receive an outline when you came in or pick one up, lift your hands up right now. I want everyone to have something to follow along with. Looking around here, go ahead and this is the moment right now. Make sure you have an outline. So good to be together this morning, and so glad that you were here. What is September? Anybody know, what are we celebrating in September? Come on, help me out, anybody. Our birthday. Speaking of birthdays, Dad, happy birthday to you. It's my dad's 76th birthday. Tomorrow's the actual day, but happy birthday. I want you to turn to your neighbor or someone sitting near you and just look at them and say, happy birthday. Come on right now. Happy birthday. Pastor Charlie, what are you talking about? Well, we as a church in September, in fact, this entire year, we're going to be celebrating our 35th birthday. And along those lines, I want to talk with you this morning. You have your note sheet out. You have your Bibles. I want to answer one question, and I wonder if you can answer it just right away. If you can answer this question, as soon as I say it, you can just get up and leave, okay, and get some coffee and wait till the service is over. But no, I'm just kidding. But I want to answer this question. Why are we here? Let's say that together. Why are we here? We're celebrating 35 years. But the truth is that the longer an organization exists, and the truth is the longer a person lives or the longer a family is in existence, there is a tendency to drift away from your why. Why are we here? You know, I was reminded of this when I was reading a book by Ed Catmull. I know you know who that is. I'm just kidding. No, you don't. But probably don't. But he's the co-founder of Pixar. Just came out with a book called Creativity, Inc. And he's talking about leadership and talking about how to preserve creativity in organization and leadership principles. And he made this statement, and it just stuck out to me. And I want you to consider it. And I want you to engage your minds right now. We're talking about why are we collectively here as a church, and you can apply this personally to your family. Why am I here? Why are we here? But why are we collectively here as a church? This is what Ed says. If it's up there, I want you to read it with me. He says, don't confuse the process with, okay, now some of you are already scratching your head. What in the world does that mean? We're going to unpack a little bit. Let's try it again. Don't confuse the process with the goal. Working on our processes to make them better, easier, and more efficient is an indispensable activity and something we should continually work on, but, let's say it together, it's not the goal. Now, let's read this next statement together. Making the product great is the goal. Now, for Pixar, their product is a great computer animated film. So he said, as a leader, it's important for us. I mean, Pixar now is over 20 years old, done some great stuff, but we have to keep remembering that improving processes is not the goal. It's important, structure, systems, and all these other things, yes, we can work on, and we'll always work on them, but it's not the goal at the end of the day. At the end of the day, to make a movie like Toy Story, to make a great computer animated film is our goal. Now, that's their goal, but I want to take a step back and ask, what is our goal? Why are we here? What's our mission? Let me just, as I said earlier, you might ask yourself, you might just stop and say, well, what's my family's goal, mission, Why are we here? Why am I here personally? What's this marriage about? Why am I going to college? We start with this why. Let me submit to you, like, for example, for a family, it's easy to just get caught up with life and maybe, like Ed said, confuse the processes for the goal. For example, the goal of your family is much bigger than just making sure the grass is cut or the filters are changed. Or coming up with a better schedule to get the kids at their practices on time, or improving efficiencies, and making sure that there's a great meal at the table. Those are all wonderful things. They're all indispensable processes, but it's not the goal of a family. So we have to stop and shake ourselves sometimes and say, now, wait a second. And church is always a good place to put pause on everything else and to actually think. Engage our minds. How am I living? So we stop and we think, and we're going to ask this question now corporately together, community church. Why are we here? What's our goal? What's our mission? We'll look at one sentence from the Apostle Paul. This is in 2 Corinthians, and he's speaking to the Corinthian church, and he's reminding them about their why, about their goal. Now, if it's up there, you can read it with me. This is chapter 4 and verse 15, as God's grace reaches more, and I'm not making this up, I want you to engage your mind. You can disagree with me as long as you're engaging your mind and you have reasons for doing so. Not just, here we go. As God's grace reaches what? More and more people, there will be great, folks, the 9 o'clock service read louder than you guys, and you're triple their size. As God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. Did you catch something in there? God's grace. What does the word grace mean? His favor, his help, his tangible assistance in your life. I'm not living just based on my own resources, but God's grace is working in my life. So as God's grace reaches more and more people, who gets more and more glory? I didn't make that up. As more and more people are reached and experience God's favor and help, God receives more and more glory. So here's the idea in your notes. The glory of God is always linked to, or directly linked to, people. The glory of God. The glory of God, the increasing glory of God, is always linked towards people. So let's make an equation here, something just so simple that we can all get it. Less people equals less glory. And you can disagree with me, but just I want you to at least have reasons for doing so. So wait a second, Pastor Charlie, what are you saying? So more people equals more glory. Ten people giving thanks is wonderful. 2,000 people giving thanks is more thanksgiving. 10 people giving an offering is wonderful. 2,000 people giving an offering, the offering is more. God can receive more glory. So wait a second, Pastor Charlie, what are you talking about? Okay, well, thank you for reasoning with me. Let's go back 35 years. Our church starts, and before, one week before, in September, that 1 week before that Sunday in September, there was nobody. After our first Sunday, there was 30 people in church in Rolling Ridge Elementary School. What started off as one family, my dad and his family, there were 6 of us, and turned into that, there were no building, no nothing, in an elementary school turned into to 30 people. Was God glorified? Oh my goodness. He must have been so proud. Why? Because before, there was nothing.
Before there was no Thanksgiving in Rolling Ridge Elementary School. Before there was no prayers. Before there was no singing. Before there was no offering to be taken up to help other people. Before that, there was nothing. But now, at least, there were 30 people and something was happening and God was receiving more glory than he had before. You with me here? So let's just keep reasoning here together. So let's just imagine 35 years ago that little beginning church just decided to, maybe they experienced some growth and some other people told some other people at work and they had some people come and they reached about 100 people. And let's just imagine that they just forgot their why. And you know, after all, they got about 100 people now, and so we all know each other, and maybe we can just kind of keep this thing like this, and we can confuse or substitute other things. Now, Ed Catmull said that businesses a lot of time have a temptation to focus on processes instead of their goal, their mission. And so, what if the little church back then had said, you know what? They got off track and forgot their why and started to focus on other things. You know, Dad, I was thinking when our church early on, I remember as a kid, maybe I was 8 or 9 years old. It was maybe our second or third Christmas Eve candlelight service. As a kid, and everybody would come to church, and the coolest thing as a kid was getting the light candles. You know, fire, real fire, and you're just so excited about this service. So we do the Christmas carols, and we pass out the little candles, and the fire come, look at the fire, it's so cool. And we sing, what's the song we sing, honey? I forget it now. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, we're holding the candles out, and it's so wonderful. And unbeknownst to me, my dad, before the service, had found somewhere, mom and dad had found somewhere, a Santa Claus to come. And so we did the whole church service, and we did the whole thing, and nobody knew it, and then we blew out the candles and said, Merry Christmas, everybody. And then my dad, the church was super small. And then my dad said, well, Merry Christmas, everybody. By the way, we have a surprise guest came to church tonight, and the door opened up, and I saw Santa. Oh, I went, Santa! And he had a bag. He just started chucking candy. Went nuts. Just dove on the ground grabbing candy. And just so excited that Santa was there. And did you know all the kids were pumped? We were just so excited. Santa came. Went home that night. Do you know that in that little small church, and Dad, I so much, reason I'm telling that story because I so much appreciate you keeping, as the leader of the church then, keeping the main thing, the why. Because there were some people in that little tiny church, and it's usually church people, not outsiders, but church people who have all kind of issues and problems. And so there were some people and some families in the church who were disturbed. How dare Santa Claus come to our Christmas Eve candlelight service? What kind of church is this? Well, I was just a kid. I don't understand all the theology. I just know I got a nice piece of candy. And it was exciting. So what was the little church doing? The little church was trying to increase the glory of God on the earth because it's always tied to reaching people. People. And so this is just kind of a reminder, a check for us to come together and say, now why are we all here? We're not here. The main reason we're here, not here, is to worry about things like, you know, Pastor Charlie, should there be a stained glass window here somewhere? I don't see the we're not here focusing on lesser issues. should we sing first or do the preaching first and then sing later? Because, or should we sing 3 songs or 5 songs? Or I'd like to sing 10 songs because I just like the singing part. Or how should we arrange the chairs? I wonder how we should arrange the chairs in church. In my old church, we did it this way. How about the communion cups? How should we take communion? I heard someone raise their hand and says there's diseases going around, so we should get the plastic communion cups with the little thing and the little wafer on the side. And so we begin to talk about that. And then what about coffee? Should we bring coffee in the sanctuary or should we not bring coffee? I don't think we should bring coffee in the sanctuary. Someone might spill it. It's going to stain the floor. Then how are we going to clean it? And then all these things. And should we even have coffee? I'm not sure if we should. And then what about the choir? Should the choir have rows? Well, people have singers today. I don't really see singers. And so if we're not careful, listen to me, if we're not careful, we can expend a lot of valuable energy that we don't have a lot of on secondary things, leaving very little energy for the most important thing. Now, here's the problem in your notes. What happens when it happens? This is what can happen, is we can have churches, if we're not careful, that have a lot of activity, but very little impact as far as reaching people and expanding the glory of God. Doing a lot of stuff. Man, we're doing all kind of things. Are we doing our why? That's Pixar's why. That's what they're doing. They're making that product. What's our why? People. More and more people for more and more glory to God. Now, here's the thing. And with this, I'll just give you a little secret, and then we'll back up a little bit. Just looking at you here. So there are churches that are growing, yes, and we see more and more people, but is God really receiving more glory? Now, to answer that question, we have to do a little more investigating. We have to find out who are the people who are coming. And the sad truth is that a lot of church growth is just church transfers. It's church attendees that we're going somewhere else to decide or whatever happens on that team. And so they come to another team. And by the way, if you're from the church, we're glad you're here. Welcome here. But I'm just talking about God's glory and his kingdom expansion. Are we experiencing just people moving seats on the same ship? Or are new people? Is the kingdom of God, is the glory of God actually expanding into new territory? Is it reaching new people and new lives? Because as more and more people are reached with the grace and the kindness and the goodness of God, God receives more and more and more glory. Now, again, the Apostle Paul, when we look at his words, was challenging the Corinthian church so many years ago. And he likens the church to a race or to a boxing match. And he says these words. I'm just going to read one sentence. 1 Corinthians 9:26, he says, I do not run, what's the word? Aimlessly. And I'm just confessing as a pastor that there's a tendency for us as churches, as a family, we come together, maybe we experience some success and some growth, but if we're not careful, we can start running around, a lot of activity, you can even get out of breath. I'm doing so much, so volunteering, doing all these things, and we're never running towards the finish line. There's actual direction. We're trying to get somewhere. Where is that somewhere? Somebody new. Somebody who doesn't know. Someone who's not a part or connected to a church. Someone who's far from God. And that's where we're running. So Apostle Paul says, I have to watch myself so I don't just run around aimlessly. Then he says these words, I do not box as one, what? Beating. You can wear yourselves out. If we're not careful, a lot of us or our church can be as if we're just doing all these things, worshiping big time. Oh, it's awesome. Yeah, but are we hitting anything? Are we winning anyone? Have we helped someone just take one small step toward God and His house for His glory? Someone who would not even think about waking up on a Sunday morning and ever darkening the door of a church. That's new territory for the glory, for the glory of God. Look at the good God's Word translation. That same verse, it says, I run. Now, I want you to think about a church member. On God's team, He says, I run, but not without a what? That's why we're talking about our 31st birthday. Let's just stop and just talk about what's our goal. What is it? I run not without a clear goal, and I'm boxing, but not just like I'm just throwing. I'm actually trying to win here. Win what? Win people. So we've come a long way. Let's answer the question. Why are we here? Together corporately as a church, why do we all gather together? Let's answer this question again. You have your notes there? We exist to do what? Come on. Some of you are like, I don't know. Put it on the screen. Give me the fill in the blank. We exist. Why are we here? That's what we're talking about. We exist to do what? Help. We exist to help more and more people do what? To live to a degree they could no wise attain to in their own strength and resources. We exist to help more and more people tap into the grace of God by winning them, and here are the channels of God's help and favor in someone's life, by winning them to His Son, to His church. Christ, that's what it's all about. That's that one sentence. All this. Music, little light ball things, whatever they are. Singing. Elam Cafe, you know, people in the parking lot saying, hey, so glad you're good to see you. What are we trying to do? Win. Trying to see the glory of God, not stay where it is, but increase in the earth. Now, I'm going to let you in on a little secret, one of our goals as a church. And if you're new, you just pretend like you've been here a long time, okay? This is for us. One of our goals as a church is to increase the average number of visitors on the weekend on Sunday morning to 50 visitors every single week. How many think it's a big deal? That's good. Do you know where we are right now? How many visitors we have on an average Sunday? We have right at 20. So that means today, in the first service, the second service, that we're almost guaranteed that 15 to 20 new people, for all kind of reasons. Some that just passed, saw a church, been wanting to visit, and finally today was the day. They got up and they came in here. Some people new, just or some people hurting or whatever it is, or wanting to get connected to God, and they're coming to God's house. How in the world would this ever be possible? Well, it starts with us. Let me ask you a question. Has your life been helped, strengthened, transformed, clarified? Any kind of healing, that positive transformation that taken place in your life? Why don't we just take that and just share it? You know, there's not a week that goes by that I don't empty out my wallet with the invite cards that we put out here in the lobby up here, the lobby downstairs. Hundreds of them. You can just grab them. Put them in your purse, put them in your wallet, put three or four in there, and just carry around. And everywhere you go, you're just inviting somebody. I was at lunch with Jill, and I were at lunch with a church member. Won't name her, Sophia Nelson. And so we're there, and you know, she's got a kind of a loud personality anyway. The waiter comes up and says, "How you doing?" And Sophia just out loud says, "Good afternoon. So good to see you. Have you been to our church?" And the waiter's like, I don't know. She goes, it's right down the street. It's the best thing happening. These two people right here are the pastors. And I'm just telling you, if you want encouragement, and you just got to come. And this lady was like, wow, okay. And every time she came back, Sophia was just like, have you thought about it? I really want you to come. I looked at Sophia. Sophia looked at me. She had this fire in her eyes. She goes, I tell it wherever I go, I invite people to come to your church. Not to your church, to our church. And I thought, wow. Sure enough, the lady, before we left that restaurant, she came back. She said, you know what? I have been needing to go to church. I just have a 6-year-old son, and we really need a church. Thank you so much. I was able to pull out one of those cards and give it to her. Just a couple days later, I was sitting in Starbucks, and sure enough, another church member came down. Jacqueline sat down next to me, and she was meeting a friend. And when that friend showed up, she said, I want you to meet Pastor Charlie. And so we began to engage a little bit, and I said, well, at the end of the conversation, I said, well, you should come and visit us sometime. We'd love to have you. And you know what she said? Oh, that's terrible. That's the worst idea. You know what she said? She said, I'm brand new to the area. We've only been here a year, and we've needed a church, but we just had a kid. And I go, oh, my gosh, I know what that's like. Your world has been turned upside down. She said, that's it. That's right. But as soon as the dust settles, we want to come. I was like, we want you to come to God's and join us in God's house. All kind of ways. If all of us in here would be about our why, our mission, the glory of God would expand and increase in the earth. I just think about something that the Apostle Paul didn't have, and that's social media. If there's any church that should be expanding, the first century church didn't have this. And yet they, in just 300 years, took over the entire just expansion and growth. You would think they were eat up with something. There was this fire, which we would call the Holy Spirit, burning in them. See people blessed and reached by God. But just think if we could take our Facebook, just right now, every single Sunday, if you took it out and said, hashtag, what has always been doesn't have to always be. At Community Church, took a picture of it. And we multiply that by everybody in here doing that. How many people would that witness to and they would see? Listen, wouldn't that be a better use of social media than ranting about something political? I think, when I think about our why, I want you to look through that lens. Is what I'm saying here helping my why? Maybe I can stop saying that and start being winsome and hope-filled and invite people and go on mission. Go on mission with God. We of all people know that politics not the answer. Not the answer. Now, you say, well, you're just trying to get more people, and I'm resisting it, okay. That's fine. As long as you're reasoning, I want you to think. Let's go to our founder. This is our founder. Remember why Jesus came in the first place. He said, I'm the good shepherd. What kind of shepherd? If he has 100 sheep, loses one, doesn't leave the 99 and go after the one. That's Jesus's, listen, this was Jesus's mission. I'm coming from heaven to earth on mission. I don't make no bones about it. I'm trying to reach somebody. Why? So I can bless them. Their life would be a 4 without me. But when I enter into their life in a real and tangible way, it's limitless what could happen in their life. So I'm coming on mission here. And we see that in his life and ministry. I want us to look at one passage here. This is Matthew 9:35. Now we're looking at Jesus. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages doing what? What was he doing? Teaching. Now these are important functions of the church. The church teaches and it does what? And it preaches and it does what? Come on, keep reading with me. And it heals. It's not just saying words, but also has actions behind it, healing actions. not just praying for the sick, but helping the sick get whole in Jesus' name. So he came teaching. We have to deal with his words. Jesus actually said, our founder said some things. So he came teaching and preaching. And what was his subject? What does the scripture say his subject was? Pastor, don't make me think. Don't make me think. Just give it to me. Is it up there? Can we put the verse back up there? What was his subject? He came teaching and preaching what? Do we realize that we have good news? I think sometimes that you have good news, that we have good news. Good news of what? What's the scripture say? Is it not up there? Come on, keep it up there. I have people look at me going, Pastor, give it to me. Okay, let's just hold on. So healing, he came preaching the what? There it is. Anybody use some good news? Do you know anybody? Look here. The good news about the kingdom, healing all kinds of diseases and sickness. When he saw the crowds, when he saw crowds of people, what did Jesus feel? He was moved. There was an ache. He felt sorry for them because they were what? Now, in the Greek, those two words, a little difficult to translate, but let me give you an idea. He saw them. He saw people that were hurting. He saw people that were exhausted. Sound like anybody you know? Saw people that hurting. Saw people who were troubled. There were so many troubles that they were facing in situations that they were worried. They were anxious. And that word hurting and helpless, they were discouraged. Life had taken something out of them, and he knew that he had good news. I've got some good news to tell you about the kingdom of God. Now, for some of us, that's like, what in the world are you talking about, the kingdom of God? Well, the only way I can make an analogy to it today is in a small way. This breaks down. But like the United States is a kingdom, it's a country, it's a place, and man, if you have a U.S. passport or you're a citizen of the United States, man, that's wonderful. In fact, there are so many people all around the world trying to get into this kingdom. And whether or not you agree with this politically or not, right now we are trying to devise ways to keep people what? Out. And you've got to do all this and that. And Jesus comes along and is talking about a real kingdom. Listen to me. This isn't just some just fairy tale. It's the kingdom of God. Citizenship. I've come to tell you good news that you can be a citizen of the kingdom of God. You can be a child. You can be a son or a daughter of God. And listen, he's not putting up walls. He sent me to tell you that the walls have come down in me, that whosoever will, they can come and be a citizen of this kingdom. Listen, with all the rights and privileges of that kingdom, I stand before you, listen, not as somebody who's a pauper, but I stand before you as someone with tremendous wealth. What are you talking about? I have access to the resources of the kingdom of God through Christ. I can pray to him. I can talk to him. In fact, it's not even fair. Any situation I walk myself into, I have the advantage in Jesus' name. How can you say such a thing? Because I'm in the kingdom. I'm in the kingdom. Even the bad things that happen in my life are just setting me up for better things. How can I say that? Because I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God, and all things are working together for my good. I'm not like other citizens of other kingdoms. And so Jesus came sharing the good news. Whosoever will, let him come. Your sins can be forgiven. This can be a new day. a new beginning in Jesus' name. But as he looks around, he realizes something. Here it is. There are so many people, and it's just him. And his heart's broken. And they're hurting. And they need some good news. But good news, it's true. So what does he do? Look at the very next verse, verse 37. So he turns to his who? Now enter the church. That's us. He turns to his disciples, his followers, and he makes a profound statement. Read it with me if you would. He said, the harvest is what? Great. Let's just stop right there. Do you agree with the Lord? The harvest is, now know what we're talking about when we say harvest. He's talking about people. There are so many, it's so plentiful. But the workers are few. So what does he say? Pray. What do? Pray to the Lord who's in charge of, ask him to send more what? Workers into the field. The harvest is plentiful. Do you know that we're just right here in Loudoun County that 31 new people move here, new residents, every single day? Now, I'm not asking whether or not you like that or not, but that's what's happening. Come on. Turn to someone and say 31 a day. 31 every single day. Over 900 every single month that just passes by. People coming in for whatever reason, work, just situations, they're coming here. And here's the question in your notes there. What is limiting God's intention and profound desire, deep, passionate? What is limiting him from helping and blessing more people? Us. He didn't turn to anyone else and say, hey, harvest, you people out there, get your act together. Don't you know? No. He turned to his followers and said, guys, there's so many people. The harvest is so, but there's just not enough. Not enough workers. So here's what we're going to do. How many of you have a job where you have a review? You get reviewed on your job? Anybody? Let me see hands. I'm serious. Like annual review, quarterly review, looking around here. Don't you just love those? Come on. Look at it. Amen. Thank you. Appreciate it. Well, get ready. Something you've asked for. We're going to have an annual review right now about our job performance. Okay? Let's just remember, Jesus calls us workers. You with me? I'm not making this up. He said workers. That's who we are. So we're in his house. It's time for our August annual review. Now, it's just you answer. Just we're doing this kind of corporately. I'll just stand up here. But just pretend this is between you and the Lord. You're one of his workers. You're one of his followers. So the Lord gets out his pen, and maybe his glasses are pulled down right here, and he's like, so good to see you. John, how you doing? Mary, did you have a good year? Yeah, I had a great year. We hitting our goals? Well, what goals are you talking about, Lord? Well, okay. First question I want to ask you. Have you helped anyone take a step closer to me in my house? Anyone? Did you invite anyone? Well, Lord, how about this? Are you serving on a team that helps connect people to me and my house?
I mean, because you said in your first answer that you really didn't like talking to people about inviting them to church because it was just too, that would be too much. But you could help on a team, couldn't you? Well, Lord, I was going to get to that. Well, Lord, I didn't know that was what church was about. I just thought church was about me. And I go there to get my, you know, what are you saying? Yeah, I'm saying that I'm so glad that the church is here to bless you, but my heart goes out for people who are outside these walls who also need to hear some good news, have some hope restored into their life. How about this? Have you gone through Grow? Maybe join Team Orange. I was so proud of one of our members. I walked out, literally knowing what the Lord had put on my heart to remind us about our why, what we're doing. And I'm walking down the hallway, and this short little lady comes up, and she's just beaming a smile. I said, "Pastor Charlie," I said, "Yes." She goes, "I just want to thank you for the church and everything." And I said, "Well, that's great." And I said, "And my son, he's serving now." And I said, "Well, how did you get here?" And she said, "Well, Dylan is my neighbor. And when it snowed, I guess it was a year ago, I looked out my window and he was shoveling my driveway. And I went over to my husband. I said, "Get out of this house. Someone else is shoveling our driveway. Our neighbor's shoveling our driveway." And he just shoveled her driveway, and she came out and met him. That was her first meeting, and she starts talking about their son and some stuff going on or whatever. And he says, "Well, you should come to our church. We'd love to have you." And she, so it wasn't before long where she just made up her mind, "You know what, I'm gonna go to church, and I got my son." He said, "I'm not going." She said, "You are going." And she dragged him here. And as soon as they got on the parking lot and started walking the door, her son saw. They had a totally different church experience in her background. When it came here, it was different. She said, "Now I'm serving, and my son's plugged into the youth group, and I'm helping here and here, and I just wanted to, how did all that happen?" Listen to me. How did all that happen? Because when Jesus turned around and said, "I can't do this by myself," to so many people, hey, he turned around to his followers and said, "Would you help me? Would you help me?" Here's the thing, is that you don't harvest inside the barn. And I got to be honest, I live in the barn. I mean, I'm in church all the time. Where's the harvest? It's not in a barn. It's in the little league team we coach. It's in the place that we work. It's in the restaurants we go to. The harvest, Jesus said, is all around us. Come on. And I'm praying, listen, this is my entire prayer. Lord, I pray. He said, "Pray. Lord, I pray that you would awaken within us a desire, a fresh desire, Lord, to be on mission, Lord." We remember what this is all about. We would be on mission with you. I got to tell you one more story about a church member. Alyssa, listen to the chain of events here. I got this email. I'm going to cut it down because it's long. "Pastor Charlie, blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. I started a great new career and still didn't feel like I was finding what I was missing to make me happy." What a sentence. Started a new career, but I'm still not happy. "I was talking to Alyssa, who attends community church, at a work event on St. Patrick's Day about this very thing, and she brought up how when she was in a similar situation as me." Where is this conversation happening? In the field. In the harvest.
I'm working with God.
She said, I was in a similar situation to me. And she started attending community, and she said it had meant everything to her.
So the following Sunday, I attended church with her, and I sat there with tears rolling down my face.
My best friend started coming with me. My mom attended Easter Sunday with me for the first time as well,
and she sat there and cried just like I do every Sunday.
I'm hoping to get my brothers, sister-in-laws, nieces, and nephews as well, because we all need it.
Didn't expect to write so much, but I thought you should know how much the church has impacted someone who was completely lost, zero faith, in just a few weeks. Thank you. Thank you.
Again. I'll say this again. All right. Let's go back to the annual review. How you doing? And the Spirit of God said, and I'm praying. Jesus said, pray. I'm praying that God's going to baptize us in a new spirit and new attitude. We wake up and say, Lord, I can help someone take one more step closer to you. You know, and I got to say this quickly. For our 35th birthday, we had the idea, of what should we do? Let's give a gift, because that's what the church is anyway. Let's give a gift to the community. And so what would that gift be? We thought, what if in one day, in one 24-hour period, we unleashed our church on this community and we positively transformed it in one 24-hour period with all of us working together? That would mean, wait a second, Pastor. Okay, I hear you. That would mean, well, you want us to leave this building and go out there and do something? Yes. So we got to thinking, what if we talk to all the community leaders and ask them, hey, what is it that you need done that you haven't been able to get done? Or maybe you don't have the resources. Because word's out on the street that God's house has plenty of resources. And maybe we could come alongside of you and help you. So we met with the chairwoman, Phyllis Randall. We met with the director of the Loudoun Abused Women's Shelter. We met with the Loudoun Health and Human Services. We met with the director of the Loudoun Parks and Recs. We met with the director of the local Habitat for Humanity. I could just go on and on and on. We've been months just meeting with people and asking that very question. What do you need that you haven't been able to get done? Our birthday is coming up, and we'd just like to do some great. Associations, community centers, elderly care, just met with all kinds of people. And we've come up with five projects that we're going to pay for and tackle and complete in one day in the middle of the month of our birthday, September 16th. That's a Saturday. And I want to encourage you, there's a big display out there. It's called One Community. And I'm praying the Lord puts it on your heart to be a worker. To be a worker for Him. So here's a brief review of some of the projects we're going to do. The Loudoun Abuse Women's Shelter has a shelter that desperately needs help. The whole backyard and area where the kids could play is just the porch. You can't even really walk on. We're going to go in with equipment. We're going to sanders, mulch, grass. When we leave that place, it's going to be a beautiful place for them to live. We have another Bolin Park project. We're going to go in and sand and paint all their, what are they called? Bollards. And then they have two big tool sheds that need painting. The Waterford Association, I love this project. Historical one-room African-American schoolhouse is there in desperate need of repair. The community couldn't find any funds to do it. And so we just told them, don't worry about it. We're going to take care of it. So we're going into Waterford. We've got the paint. We've got contractors. We've got all that. But we're going to need some help to do that. And on and on and on. You can find out more information about the One Community project. Amen? Let's pray and then watch a quick video about the one community, okay? Lord, I pray that this, you said pray, that the Lord would put it on people's hearts to say, here am I, Lord, send me. And Lord, I pray that if there's one person, the sound of my voice, Lord, is just kind of, maybe they're making excuses. I can't, this, that. Lord, that your spirit would gently nudge them and say, but you can. You can be a part of my mission. And Lord, help us to do that. Help us to see it happen this year. In Jesus' name, all of us said, amen.